The views expressed are not necessarily those of KSCJ and Powell Broadcasting Company. This program is not intended to replace the advice of doctors or other clinical providers. Consult with your practitioner to ensure the proper course of action for you.
Welcome to When Things Aren't Going Well on AM 1360, FM 94.9, KSCJ. This program is dedicated to your mental health wellness and brought to you by Family Services, a United Way partner agency. Here's your host, Art Silva.
Good morning, Siouxland, and welcome to When Things Aren't Going Well. This show is all about your mental wellness and how you can help yourself navigate the daily highway of life. We hope to educate and inform you of resources available in our community to help improve our mental wellness environment. This show was brought to you by Family Services, a United Way partner agency serving the Siouxland community. Our topic today is autism. Joining me is my co-host, Brenda Geisinger, Chief Operating Officer of Boys and Girls Home and Family Services. Good morning, Brenda. How are you?
I'm great. Good morning.
Good, good, good. Looks like April showers, finally.
Yes, and we can get our May flowers.
There you go. And I know you're going to have a lovely garden. You do every year. It's nice and peaceful. We got to do a show on gardening.
Yes.
Gardening and mental wellness. They go hand in hand. Well, would you introduce our topic and our guest today?
I would love to. We have Jan Turbis and Miranda Smalley from the Peer Learning Center. And I'm going to turn it over to you guys and kind of let you introduce yourselves and all the wonderful work you're doing. Jan, I'll start with you.
All right. My name is Jan Turbis, and I am the education director at the Peer Center for Autism, which encompasses a couple different programs that I'll be talking about a little bit later. And we also have...
I am Miranda Smalley. I'm the clinical director at the Peer Center for Autism.
Welcome, ladies. We're glad to have you here today, and we're all going to learn something about autism. I know that the Peer Center is relatively new to the community, but I'm sure that's in response to need, and it's a growing organization. So today we thought we'd give you a chance to tell us a little bit about your programs, what you do, and we have a lot of things we can talk about, and feel free to interject anything, because again, we want to get the word out that we have resources in our community that help with all kinds of problems. So Jan, let me give it over to you and give us a little bit of information on the Peer Center.
And actually, the Peer Center for Autism has been around for maybe longer than people realize. We've been around.
You learned something.
Yeah, right, right. We've been around for about 8 years, and we do have a new building. So maybe that's what you're thinking of. We're very happy that we were able to move into a new building earlier this year. I guess it was in November. And we provide services, which I'll let Miranda talk a little bit about our ABA services. And we also, the program that I'm helping facilitate, which we've been, actually that was the very first program we had at the Peer Center, is called Social Smarts Program, which helps, we have 30 families that are involved in that. So
let's start back and help our audience. Let's start with the topic and let's define autism. Miranda?
Yeah, so autism is a...
Neurological?
Thank you. That was the word I was trying to think of.
Teamwork.
Excellent. So autism is a
Neurological.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. Autism is a neurological disorder that affects lots of different people. So in a lot of different ways. You see it affecting communication. So for some of the people that we serve, that might be... they're unable to talk using vocal verbal words. So maybe they're using sign language or picture exchange or using an iPad to talk. Some of them, maybe they're using vocal verbal language, but they have to use one word as opposed to a whole conversation. It also affects, kind of like Jan was talking, it affects social skills. So these social skills can be anything from having... the ability to play games with friends, to also maybe just turning around when someone calls your name. It really affects people in a lot of different ways. And then you do see some challenging behavior associated with that. Depending on the child or the individual, it might be more severe or less severe, but you kind of see those things that encompass it.
Jan, let me ask you something. What is the ABA program? Okay, back to Miranda.
Yep.
Okay, we're
going
to be expert.
Excellent. So our ABA program is an applied behavior analytic program. And so we have board certified behavior analysts that run that. This ABA program is great. Like I was talking, autism has a lot of different facets, and the ABA program helps with all of those. So we work on increasing communication, increasing social skills, decreasing challenging behavior, and then we help train the parents with that.
I'm Art Silva, along with Brenda Geisinger, and our guests from the Peer Center, Jan Turbis and Miranda Smalley, and we are discussing the Peer Center and autism. Let me ask you, ladies, is autism often misdiagnosed?
Yes. I know a lot of kids that I've professionally seen, their very first diagnosis may be ADHD, which isn't wrong, but then there's something else that is just kind of different. So going back, and now we have such, a great understanding of what autism looks like, because there's not a blood test that you can have. It's from a person that is trained, that have seen hundreds of children with autism. And that's basically through good observation and assessment that we can know that. So, yes, there are lots of different things. Usually autism does not stand alone, meaning there's other things along with it. So language delays, anxiety, ADHD. So when we're talking about mental health, that's absolutely right. There are many comorbid kind of diagnoses.
Brenda, let me ask you, with our experience with our children, have we come across children that have autism?
Yes, I would say, similar to what Jan is talking about, quite often we may have a child that comes for services, and through that dialogue and observation, we may notice some other things. Children with autism, even adults with autism, may appear just not able to relate with others, mm-hmm. and you start digging deeper into why that is happening, and that may be when it comes to the forefront of other things that you're dealing with.
It seems to be a lot of clarity coming on with more work and research into the mental wellness arena, that we can better define and better diagnose and get help. This is usually associated with a young person's disease, or you have adults that suffer from the same thing, and are there programs for the adults?
Yeah, autism is a lifelong disability, so it isn't something you can get better. And so we always want that early intervention. So the earlier that a child is diagnosed, even at 12 to 18 months, if you really understand what autism looks like and they have challenges, that's the time to really get in there. But we do have, I've seen actually some parents of the kids that we serve have said, gosh, that's kind of like me growing up. So, yeah, it's very interesting. We do have some adults that have been diagnosed at a later age.
Is there a stigma associated with autism? We have that in mental wellness. Is the same thing expand over to autism?
Absolutely. I think that you can see that stigma. There have been times where we've had parents who didn't want to maybe let school know or other people know that their child had autism. We work really hard to try to dispel that stigma, because mm-hmm. if people can, I don't want to say use their diagnosis, but if they can tell people about their diagnosis, that means that they're able to get more services and better help.
And you mentioned the schools. That's such an integral part. Do you find that the students are being adequately helped in the schools, or is this something that you supplement at the Peer Center? Or is this a little too controversial to take up? We're trying to get to a good outcome here, so what are some of the issues?
The best outcome would be to be partners with schools, definitely.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
That's something that we can discuss and talk about. Mm-hmm. You know, we're finding this as we go along and advance our systems. The support systems that we need are just as important to make this successful. So I'm glad to hear that, because mm-hmm. we know from our experience in our school, the Opportunity School, we have had children who go back to their school and graduate, but it's a different type of learning process. And I think we're all saying the same thing.
Absolutely.
Hey, this has been great so far. So we're coming up on our break, so we're going to take a little pause for the cause. So have another cup of coffee, another glass of juice. We'll be right back with you when things aren't going well right here on 1360-949-KSCJ.
Let's face it, it happens to all of us. However, the pandemic has compounded all of our lives and activities. Even the simplest tasks seem harder. Hi, I'm Brenda Geisinger, the Chief Operating Officer at the Boys and Girls Home and Family Services. Family Services is a United Way partner agency serving children and families of our community, and we're here to help. If you'd like to learn more about Family Services, please contact us via email, website, Facebook, or phone Mary Pickens. At Family Services, we change lives.
Welcome back to When Things Aren't Going Well on KSCJ. Here's Art Silva.
Welcome back to When Things Aren't Going Well. Let's continue our discussion on autism. Jan, Michelle, let's ask, what is the Peer Learning Center?
The Peer Learning Center is brand new. This came out of a need of students that were not doing well in their classrooms around, and they either had challenge, they did have challenging behaviors, and that was the reason why they couldn't be supported in there. So we were able to start a new program. It's very small. We only have room for 8 students this year, and it is a program that works specifically on social skills, on functional communication, we call it. And so instead of a student swearing or tipping over their chair or throwing something, we're teaching them the right way to say things, to say no thank you or to say yes please, and then have it reinforced by we do a lot of assessment first of all, but we're working on a very positive note. So we've seen great things happening. Like I said, we're very small, 7 districts and 8 students, so we know that there's a need out there.
Definitely. And it's great that you're doing that. You identify something, you identify a problem. If you can't put a solution in place, you know, what the heck, so all the best to you on that. Now, 8 students in this, what limits your ability to grow the program? Is it staff? Is it funds? Is it space?
It's space. Miranda and I have talked numerous times that there's a waiting list for the ABA part, and that's why we decided to have a new building or to be able to build a new building. But there's still a big waiting list.
Yeah, we've got about 80 families right now on the wait list.
Yes. We do. So this is just, we're just touching the top of the iceberg as far as being able to support families that and kids that need it. So and we just need to grow.
Well, on that note, speaking of growing, let's talk about some of your successes and some of your challenges going forward.
We are really successful, I feel like, as a program overall. We always have great parent outcomes. I think our parents are really grateful to have us, and we're really grateful to have the parents and the families that we do have.
You have to have parent involvement.
Yes.
The success of any program with children lies in the parent.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And we've seen, you know, kids do graduate the ABA program, and, you know, the Peer Learning Center is a new program, and when they graduate there, we will have so many success stories coming from that, as well as the Social Smarts program. We hear feedback from parents constantly that, you know, even small things, this is a job that really teaches you how to appreciate the small things. So our parents are getting excited because their kid is getting dressed for the first time by themselves, or they're eating a brand new food for the first time by themselves. So we measure our successes in things that may seem really small to other people, but to us, they are a whole party.
Big steps.
And our Social Smarts program, too, we have kids that have been with us for 2, 3, 4 years, and they have established friends. And talking about the little things, this year, one of our parents, she was crying, and she said, this is the first time he's ever been invited to a birthday party, ever. That was huge. And so it's very exciting to be able to be a part of that.
You know, people that haven't gone through that, it's like an epiphany. I went through that last Christmas when I heard the story of one of our girls who got a coat. Mm-hmm. And she, 13, I believe, when she was 13, she was crying. The first new coat she ever got. Mm-hmm. Little things like that, when you mm-hmm. see the importance in someone else's life, really rocks your world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Whoa, let me take this into perspective here. So we deal with the same kind of issues mm-hmm. with our children. So mm-hmm. we get it.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
We get it. Let me ask you, now on fundraising. First of all, nonprofits are so important in every community. Look at the United Way. They have 28, I think, last count, 28 partner agencies, maybe more. But without nonprofits, and they usually deal in the health service areas, the areas that are really, really vulnerable people, they're critical. So what you're doing is absolutely critical to the fabric of the community and the fabric of our mental wellness here. So I know usually nonprofits, that's why they're called nonprofits, do not laugh their way to the bank. So you've got a fundraiser coming up. So you want to talk about that?
Sure, sure. We are very excited that we're going to be doing Derby and Dreams, which will be at Country Celebration. It'll be on Saturday, May 7th. Starts at 3:30, and we dress up in our derby gear with hats and just all kinds of fun things.
Yeah, chapeaus. Okay.
Yeah, it is fun. It is a good day to be able to celebrate whatever's going on. We're going to have live music. We're going to watch the derby, actually. We're going to have
live betting.
I don't know.
Somebody could sit there on their phone.
Exactly. Yes, we are not going to do that there. But if you're sitting at a table that has that horse on it, you may win a gift card or something. Yeah, right. And this is our big fundraiser, and what the monies from this year is going to go to is playground equipment outside. We have a brand new facility. We have nothing in the backyard, but we're very excited to have some play equipment for everyone.
Okay. How can someone get a hold of you to support this event? Who do they call? What do they write? What can they text? Whatever.
Well, one way they can call is to the Midstep main office, which is our parent company, which is 274-2252, and talk to Mary. Just ask for Mary, or you can ask. Just say that you're interested in Derby and Dreams.
274-2252.
Correct.
And ask for Mary, mm-hmm. Derby and Dreams. This is a fun event.
It is.
You could have the lucky horse in this event. So come on
there
out.
There you go.
Okay, this has been great. Really enjoyed it. I learned a lot. That's one of the nice things about getting out of our comfort envelope and getting out and learning more what's going on. Because we want to support what you're doing, because the winners are the community. All the children, 85 families on a waiting list. Like, oh my word, that's a tremendous need. We're coming up on the end of our show, and every week we end our show with a joke. Humor is medicine for the soul. So here we go. Three old guys are out walking. The first one says, "Windy, isn't it?" The second one says, "No, it's Thursday." The third one says, "So am I. Let's go get a beer." Thanks, Brenda, Jan, and Michelle, and thanks to our listening audience. A big shout out, big thanks to Dave Bernstein and the Saturday in the Park team. Another great lineup coming up on July 4th weekend. We're always looking to add to our family, so if you are looking for a career change or to start a new career, please call our HR manager at 293-4700 or text or write at hr@bgh.org. We have immediate openings for full and part-time positions. When things are going well, we'll be back next Saturday morning at 7 right here in 1360 AM, 94.9 FM, KSCJ, and our topic will be Together for Mental Health. With our guest licensed therapist, Christy Spicer, we'll kick off May Mental Health Awareness Month. Your homework this week is to go out and have a good laugh. May the sun shine on you.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep smiling until then. Happy trails.
For more information on the services provided by Boys and Girls Home and Family Services, see them online at boysandgirlshomeiowa.org, or you can call 712-293-4700. To get more information about family services, residential treatment, the Opportunity School, the Siouxland Family Center, and more. At Boys and Girls Home and Family Services, we change lives.